You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jada Lucas.
And I'm Jonah Chester. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, October 16th, 2017.
All of his writing is about subtext, what's going on underneath, what is left unsaid is the most important, which makes it kind of a mystery and gives the audience that invitation to really invest in the world and figure it out.
The Indiana University Theater Department is currently performing Anton Chekhov's Three Sisters at the Wells Metz Theater in Bloomington. Interchange host Doug Storm talks with actress Abby Lee and dramaturge Greer Gurney coming up in our community report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Ruth Richardson continues her 30 years as an educator through the Volunteers in Tutoring Adult Learners, or VITAL, program at the Monroe County Public Library. Ruth's story is coming up later in the program on today's edition of Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
The Monroe County Community School Corporation is using janitors and maintenance personnel as bus drivers. MCCSC spokesman Andrew Clampett says the school district faces a driver shortage after bus service company Auxilio Services failed to fulfill the terms of their contract. He says the staff members go through, quote, the same training and background checks as bus drivers.
We have, you know, a number of maintenance slash custodial workers who do have their CDLs and are licensed and certified to be school bus drivers. And so the very last stopgap option, you know, sometimes their bus driving services are called upon. But that is only kind of used on an as-needed basis. We've needed that here the first, you know, couple months of school because of the shortage from the Auxilio contract. But, you know, we use less today than we have in a long time. And, you know, as these newer hires come in, again, each day will be better and better, and we'll be using less and less of those folks. But it's anywhere between 3 and 10 folks that are used on any given day.
Auxilio Services officially lost their contract for 24 school bus routes on Friday. The Michigan-based company failed to provide the proper equipment and reportedly didn't hire enough drivers. Clampett says MCCSC has raised the amount its drivers earn in an effort to attract more applicants.
There are quite a few folks that have been hired, and we have quite a few more that are still yet to be interviewed and going through that process. And so what I can say is that there's been a significant increase in the number of applicants in the pool since the school board has raised the starting wages.
But Stephen Dora, a member of the Bloomington Solidarity Network, says he's spoken with many drivers who say beneath the pay increase is, quote, an environment of fear and intimidation at MCCSC.
The transportation department has been more frequently pulling tapes of the drivers. All of the buses have camera equipment on them so they can ensure the safety of children on the buses. And usually the tapes are only pulled in the case of some kind of incident that's necessary to review. But lately the tapes have been pulled extremely frequently just as a way of kind of keeping drivers on their toes. A lot of them feel really uncomfortable with the frequency of the tape pulls, and it seemed to be especially prevalent when the contract drivers were losing their contract and they were pulling all the contract drivers' tapes specifically to kind of give some justification for the transition from contract drivers to Auxilio. I don't think anything really came to that or came out of that as our contract drivers, you know, have been driving for the school board for 30 or 40 years and know what they're doing in terms of safety. I'm not sure exactly the impulse. I think it's likely difficult to get clear information on this just because the environment that this kind of thing creates is one where drivers are terrified of coming forward and talking to community members and talking about their experience in the workplace.
Mary Blake operated a contract bus route with the school district for 32 years. She says she began to feel intimidated by the MCCSC administration, particularly after Transportation Director Nathan Oliver was hired 2 years ago.
There was conversations about how we felt about him and what they were doing with the contract drivers, and we would sit on my bus or another bus and discuss, you know, our frustrations. And before school was up, my tape got pulled once because I had said some things that, you know, I voiced my opinion. And I know that somebody told him that I was talking about him on my bus and the whole situation, so they pulled my tape under the pretense that somebody had called in on me.
Clampett urged any driver with a complaint to come forward to the MCCSC administrators.
Any type of report of, you said, fear of, or intimidation, we would want those things to be reported to Transportation and Human Resources, you know, immediately. That's something we take very seriously.
Clampett says the school district still needs nearly 40 drivers, but that they're in the process of hiring additional personnel.
The city of Ellettsville's fire department will now only respond to life-threatening calls. Ellettsville Fire Chief Mike Kornman says he needs to reduce the number of calls his fire department responds to in order to stay within their budget and current staffing levels.
Right now we go to every 911 call for EMS in Ellettsville, Richland Township, and we have been doing that since 1997.
Kornman's remarks were made during the Ellettsville Town Council meeting last week. During the meeting, Kornman told the town council that non-life-threatening calls accounted for about half of the total calls Ellettsville Fire Department responds to.
And the amount of simultaneous calls that we're getting, example is today, we had 3 calls at the same time today. You know, we may get 5 times a day, but all 5 may be just, within a few minutes of each other. So, and 2 weeks ago, on a call that was non-life-threatening in nature, a very far area outside of the town near the Owen Monroe County line in Richland Township, we had an active alarm at the senior citizens home here in Ellettsville, Richland Senior Citizens. There was a reason why the alarm went off, because smoke was in the building, because there was a fire in the kitchen. Luckily, there was a upwardly mobile neighbor that was able to go over and extinguish the fire before we got there. However, the response time would have been probably 7 to 9 minutes from our station on Curry Pike. These things happen on a regular basis now. That's something we're trying to avoid.
Kornman says his fire department operates on an annual budget of about $1 million. Each of the department's 2 fire stations are staffed with 2 firemen and average 5 calls a day. Kornman drew comparisons to Van Buren Township's fire department, which has a budget of $1.5 million but averages only 3 calls a day. He also compared Ellettsville to the Northern Monroe Fire Territory, which has a larger budget but still averages about 2 calls per day.
We're doing a lot of calls for a whole lot less money, and it shows in the daily usage of our equipment and really the wear and tear on our personnel, the chief resource.
Kornman says the Ellettsville Fire Department also experiences a high turnover rate in personnel as a result of the staff-to-run ratio.
Remember, we did lose 2 full-time firefighters to Northern Monroe because they have less runs and they have more time for training, more commensurate to the style of fire protection that they're accustomed to.
The fire chief says he's working with the county's central emergency dispatch to only alert the Ellettsville Fire Department to life-threatening calls. Town Council members Scott Oldham, Scott Thomas, and Kevin Ferris voiced their support for the change. Council President Oldham said he trusts Kornman's judgment.
This is the chief's desire. It's well thought out. It is well articulated, and I don't second guess the chief purely. I think just my own 2 cents, yeah, it's a good move. But even if I thought otherwise, it's the chief's department to run, and I think we need to stand behind him and approve what he's asked for.
Council members Bryce Teeter and Brian Mobley were absent from the meeting. Kornman says the decision to only respond to life-threatening calls is currently in effect.
The city of Bloomington is unveiling a new mural at People's Park along Kirkwood Avenue. The mural, on the wall of the bicycle garage in downtown Bloomington, overlooking the park, is called You Belong Here. Mayor John Hamilton's office said in a press release that, quote, People's Park, like Bloomington, is for everyone, and we hope the mural helps everyone feel welcome. The mural comes 3 months after the park, often inhabited by homeless individuals, was cleared out by Bloomington police officers, acting on the recommendations of the city's Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force. Local artist Eva Allen was commissioned to paint the mural. A ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held on Thursday at 3 p.m. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Jada Lucas.
And I'm Jonah Chester. In today's community conversation, we'll hear a selection from a recent Arts Interchange conversation about Anton Chekhov's Three Sisters, which is currently in production at IU's Wells Metz Theater. Doug Storm was joined in the WFHB studios by Abby Lee, who plays Masha Prozhorov, the middle of the Three Sisters in the play, and by Greer Gurney, the production's dramaturge. Greer Gurney begins by answering the question, who was Anton Chekhov?
Chekhov is a Russian writer who wrote at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. He was trained as a doctor, actually, and started writing short stories to pay his way through medical school. And then he dove right into the theater world, writing short plays, and his larger works are his most famous. He is directly related to the creation of the Moscow Art Theater, which is still the most renowned theater in Russia. His major plays are The Seagull, Cherry Orchard, Uncle Vanya, and of course, Three Sisters. It is the only of his plays, his major plays, that is categorized as a drama. Hmm. However, he did write it as a comedy, so that's a fun fact about it. And there's still a lot of comic elements in the play, really. And he wrote it specifically for the Moscow Art Theater, for Konstantin Stanislavsky to direct, for the actors of the ensemble at the time. So it's a really special piece in that it's kind of custom built for a particular group of people.
So the Three Sisters is a set in what is kind of a military town, is that right? Or is this common throughout the countryside of Russia? I couldn't get a sense for what kind of place this is, with soldiers coming in and out and being a major part of the action.
Yeah, so that's a question that a lot of people have, especially Americans. It's really hard for us in the 20th century or 21st century as Americans to figure out who these people are, where they are. And that's my job as the dramaturg of the play, is to help the creative team get a sense of where we are and what we're doing. So this type of military town is fairly common. It's a place that Chekhov's audience and his actors would understand very easily at the time when the play was first produced.
Okay.
But for us, you know, I keep linking it back to Bloomington when I talk about it. You know, it's a town that is funded primarily by having this large military base. Our town is funded primarily by having a large university, right? So we have this kind of state-sponsored culture that brings a lot of outsiders into the town. And that's how our community grows here. So that's kind of the link that I've been making to help make sense of this world. And I think to a lot of people, when they're looking at this play, it's not so much about the military aspect of the people, but the people aspect of the people, you know? This is just their job. This is their common thread that they have in common, that they know each other through this community that is the military. And of course, that is a community. So they get together and the action takes place at the Prozorov's home, so it's really all about home and family and friends and community in that way, and there's not a lot of shop talk.
Give us, a rundown of who are the characters. What's this play? You just mentioned the family name, right?
There's the three sisters, Olga, Masha, and Irina, and their brother Andrei. So that's the family. I'm playing Masha. It's my thesis role. This is it, folks.
Oh, boy.
Good night and good luck. So that's the family. That's right. And then they have their love interests. Some are married. Some are not. Don't want to give any spoilers.
Come on. 1901,
come
did
on,
we say the play?
Yeah. This play has been around forever.
Hopefully you've read it or seen it or thought about it.
Yeah.
Do you center on any particular characters? I have a sense for who I liked most I don't know if you have a, I mean, playing Masha, do you like Masha the most? Do you think
they're... Of course.
Yes, of
That's
course.
That's my job, to like Masha the most.
I am Masha. I don't like Masha.
Yeah, you're always supposed to fall in love with who you play. That's the job.
Masha is a sister. Middle sister?
Yeah, middle sister.
Middle sister.
Mm-hmm. And Masha's married. Olga is the oldest sister. She works as a school teacher mm-hmm. for a living.
The other occupation going on in the town, at least, or in the play.
Yes. Yeah.
And the youngest sister, Irina, mm-hmm. She starts the play just turning 20. It's mm-hmm. her birthday.
This is the anniversary of their father's death, I think,
right? Yes.
Yeah, it begins that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Their father, who used to be in the military mm-hmm. And afforded them pretty lavish lifestyle, but now that he's passed away, we've depended on Olga's job, and Masha's married, so mm-hmm. she brings in some financial security there, and they have their father's pension that they still get money from. And the brother Andre starts out in a romantic relationship with Natasha, and he ends up marrying Natasha, mm-hmm. and that complicates their familial bond. Mm-hmm. All of them together. And Masha is introduced to a fella named Vershinin, mm-hmm. An older fella. Insanity ensues.
Okay.
Yeah. She's okay. married, and she meets a nice fella. Figure it out, folks. Mm-hmm.
Who, interestingly, is yeah. coming to the town to take the same job position that her father had, which I just realized in this very moment.
He's going to be the commander, or?
He will be the battery commander.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Full circle.
That's one of the most amazing things mm-hmm. about Chekhov, and why I love to work with Chekhov, and why I'm always inviting people to check out Chekhov.
Sure.
I just had to say it that way. And there's so much subtext in this play. Mm. This play is all about... All of his writing is about subtext, what's going on underneath, what is left unsaid is the most important, which makes it kind of a mystery and mm-hmm. gives the audience, it's not a mystery in the traditional sense, but it gives the audience that invitation to really invest mm-hmm. in the world and figure it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dale McFadden, our director mm-hmm. and head of the graduate acting program, has often said people in this play and in Chekhov rarely say what's actually on their mind, which is really fun.
Mm.
It makes it fun to act, and I'm sure fun to watch, too. Mm.
Masha is an interesting character, yeah, throughout, because she's also salty and sad and sometimes happy.
She's so unapologetically herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she has lightness and darkness in her. She sees the good, bad, and the ugly in life and in human beings, and sees people for who they are, mm-hmm. Including herself. Which is, you know, there's the, you know, if we're going to boil it down to stereotypes, mm-hmm. there's the Pollyanna sister, there's the mm-hmm. moody sister, which is Masha, and there's the young, sweet young thing looking toward the future. Mm. But all of it changes mm-hmm. as the play progresses, which mm-hmm. is also really cool about how much time we get to see progress throughout the play,
mm-hmm.
Because we get to see people change and realize they're, you know, the sweet young thing by the end realizes how flawed life is by the end and mm-hmm. How complicated it is. And relationships change.
Chekhov is famous for saying something to the effect, you know, if you introduce a gun in... whatever act you, it's going to go off at some point.
Better, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right? Famous for this.
Yeah.
There is I shouldn't say these things, I suppose, but people could have seen it already or read it, right?
A
gun goes
off. And someone goes away.
Yeah.
As a result of the gun.
Well said. I like it. A gun goes
we'll
off.
We'll see. We'll see.
And someone goes away.
And it doesn't happen until the end, folks.
No, you're going
to
have to stay.
Do not leave.
That was a segment of an Arts Interchange conversation about the IU Theater's ongoing production of Anton Chekhov's Three Sisters, being performed at the Wells Metz Theater, and which continues through this coming Saturday, October 21st. You can hear Doug Storm's full interview with Abby Lee and Greer Gurney on our website. Go to WFHB.org/news/interchange.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independent and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support also comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
Hi, I am Ruth Richardson, and I volunteer with the Vital program at the library. The Vital program actually has two options. You can do a tutoring one-on-one, or you can do the small group conversation classes. And I've actually done both with your client on one-on-one. They're usually wanting help improving their reading skills or their math skills. Or as I worked with one student, he wanted to fill out applications because he was thinking about his future. My husband was in the service. We were in South Korea, and at the time, I had help from the Korean people. I just felt like I understood individuals coming here. I'm a retired elementary teacher. I did start when Kathy Rogers was the director, and so that does go back a number of years. I felt like this was one way to give back. We do have many international students from IU. Some of them are the spouses of their husband or wife that's taking classes, and they want to improve their English, and they also want to understand the culture. And so in a class, you can have individuals that are from China, Korea, Africa, about any country. And it has helped me learn about their culture. We have great discussions, so it just makes it a fun time, and they are so appreciative of the help that they get from the library. The Vital program, they've started to do some outreach. We have worked at the Tibet-Mongolian Culture Center here in Bloomington. That was tutoring monks and also some of the volunteer workers. That has been very rewarding. I think the library is a great place to volunteer because they are so supportive of all our volunteers. And as I said, it's also very flexible. The sessions, you know when the sessions are. And then if you're going to be traveling or you feel like you just need a break, then you can take the next session off. I think that's one of the perks of volunteering here at the library. They're so cooperative and so helpful, and they are so welcoming that if I've been away for a couple sessions, then it's like, welcome back. It makes you feel good. And then working with the clients, you can tell that they're very appreciative. It is a good way to help others. Thanks for listening. I'm Ruth Richardson with the Vital program at the library.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. You can take on the role of volunteer choir director at Cry of the Children after school and on Saturday mornings. This is an opportunity to engage youth through the power of song and teamwork to create friendships, focus, and discipline. Or get trained to be one of the many volunteers for the Interfaith Emergency Winter Shelter, November through March. All volunteers must attend a training before selecting their shifts. Trainings are happening now through the end of the month at various locations and times. Check the website to pick one that's good for you. And finally, from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 21st, you can join the cast of movie, storybook, and fairy tale characters who will inhabit the trick-or-treat trail through the woods at RCA Park. Bloomington Parks and Rec will provide the storyline and costumes. Training is provided. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jonah Chester and Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services, and our feature was produced by Doug Storm.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Michael Glab. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
And I'm Jada Lucas. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Kite Line, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.